Welcome to Geeks On, a show created by geeks for geeks, covering topics that geeks like to talk about. For more information about the topics we cover on the show, go to our website at geekson.com.
Welcome back.
Peter, how's my breath? Christine is looking at me.
We are the new improved Geeks On with four geeks. Plus two beautiful women joining us today.
Yes, we have guests this time because it is our
Serenity Show
/ Firefly.
Firefly. So some of you may know Lisa, who's joined us in the past as one of our hosts. Say hello, Lisa.
Hello.
Yay! Welcome back, Lisa.
Thank you.
And Christina Hendricks,
who is Christina Hendricks.
We'll be joining us here in the Actors Geek Studio today. Yes.
Welcome to the Actor Geek Studio.
Thank you. Hello.
My sister.
Yeah.
That's right.
Pull her hair.
That doesn't count.
So Christina Hendricks is, in theory, here to talk about Firefly and all that stuff, but what we really want to know is the history of Aaron Hendricks.
What he was like
as a brother and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, right. Actually, that brings up something, because I found some crazy stuff. You know how, like, Jay Leno always brings up, like, bad photos of people and stuff like that?
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
So evil.
No, this isn't evil, but this is a geek. This is for good geeks. Check this out. This is a Christina from third grade.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's so
Dungeons and Dragons character.
He made you do this, didn't he?
My character's name is Quiver.
Leave it alone. Leave it alone.
Now, what did she play?
She played a fighter cleric.
Really?
Ooh. A fighter cleric.
You
are a half elf.
You're such a munchkin.
Your armor class is 4, hit points 26. Now, obviously, we must have skimped on these rolls. We must have cheated on these rolls. I can't tell what your strength is. Intelligence 17, Wisdom 16, Dexterity 15,
so
Constitution
cheated.
18,
Cheater.
Charisma 14.
How come you all know what those scores mean?
Because
what's the name of the show, honey?
Yeah, because we are geeks.
Geeks of Geeks On.
But what's supposed to be high and what's
zero
low?
To 18.
Are these really
18,
high?
Yeah. 18,
oh. 3 to 18.
So I'm a genius.
3.
Okay, right.
Well, what's wrong with
third
you?
Third grade genius.
You can get to
Matt
zero.
Is the math handicapped Asian.
Yes, exactly. I want a t-shirt that says, I suck at math.
Yes, she has. We have a journal back here of all the things you killed. Two earth elementals, a joy wall.
Oh my goodness.
And these are written in third grade handwriting.
Yeah, third grade
handwriting. Two earth elementals.
Wait, was it Aaron? Did you spell it or did Aaron spell it?
Unfortunately, I spelled some of this. You had 12 iron spikes and 50-foot rope.
That's good. Everybody had 50-foot of rope.
And 12
That's
iron
true.
Spikes.
Yeah.
Always.
And iron rations. Everyone had iron rations.
You know, for the longest time when I was a little kid, I thought iron rations were, like, treated with iron. I thought that's why they were called that.
Remember I was designing an old game, like, you could play, like, without, like, a role-playing game, and I even had, like, your character in here.
Strength 17.
So sad.
You were always creating a role-playing game.
Yeah, I
know. So
what's yeah, a joy wall?
Here's an, I don't know,
I don't
here's
know
an
either.
Old, like, Dungeons & Dragons map that we used to play in, a town that
okay.
I made.
Aaron,
you played
it's
Dungeons
just,
and Dragons.
And look what I found
me.
It in. It's an old Peachy that's an Empire Strikes Back. It's torn in half, but it's an old...
Good.
How the hell?
Christina, if you
sign
that, we could sell it on eBay for a lot of money.
It's mine!
So.
We played Dungeons & Dragons very loosely, though. You had your own book of rules.
Yeah, well, look, check this out.
He's like, all right, if you make this roll, you have to do the dishes.
Yeah.
Yeah. If not...
I also have the old Top Secret, TSR Top
nice.
Secret, and I thought I had your character in here.
That kind of became my favorite game.
Yeah, mine too. And I couldn't find our characters. I don't know where they went. I've got all the books. I even made up rules.
I kept all my characters. I'm surprised you had that, because I had a Peachy with the, it was the dragons that you colored in yourself on the front.
Oh, right.
You had a Peachy with dragons that you colored
in
yourself.
Yeah, you know,
yourself,
the black and white Peachy, and then you use the marker to color, you know, color it in.
So you were a geek once.
Apparently.
I'm shocked. I didn't, from talking to you just earlier, I had no... impressions of you with any geek. My geek dar did not go off at all.
Yeah, his
you
know? Geek dar.
All my friends say I'm a geek.
She's played Talisman. She's played Illuminati. In fact, I gave
I
you the game.
Illuminati.
She owns Illuminati.
See, that's just by proximity, though.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
You've got to learn somewhere.
Yeah.
I'm like a geek grenade. No, you're throwing me into a room, and everyone around me goes geek.
Yeah. They get shrapnel.
Geek shrapnel. You're a geek entry drug.
Yeah. Exactly. All right. Should we do some geek news now?
Geek news.
All right.
We got to get that bloody sound effect.
We are going to get the sound effect eventually.
News.
Excellent. All y'all may know about this, for those of you who don't, Warcraft, the game, the MMORPG, had a very lovely plague.
Yeah.
That cracks me up.
This game, which is basically a massively multiplayer online role-playing game, I'm saying this because Christina's looking at me like I had something growing out of the middle of my forehead.
Actually,
Everyone else knows, but...
Basically, it's a video game where you can go on and you can play in a gigantic online role-playing world.
With thousands of other people.
Cool. There was a glitch in the game, and one guy brought back a disease from one of the dungeons, and it killed everybody on the game.
A virtual disease.
And it spread so quickly that there was always somebody coming back to life just as the disease was coming back to the area that they were in.
Yep.
Well, those are the dangers.
Absolutely. Yeah. That is the danger.
Exactly.
That's
so
why
I just
you
thought
play.
We have finally... But I
thought that is really why you cool play. I mean, come on.
But I thought this was a really cool thing, that if they could actually have not done it by mistake, it would have been a really neat idea, something that should have been used.
The actual curse wasn't a mistake. What was a mistake is they didn't think it would last long enough for someone to get out of the dungeon and get to all the cities. So it was just a programming error on how it spread, really.
And you've heard how they're now using it, right? The plague birds?
I've heard they got rid of it. They've cleared it.
You can get pets in the game. It's a really subtle way of guys playing with dolls. Right? You can put new clothing on.
There ain't nothing subtle about
swords
it.
Swords and shields. Yeah,
and it's not very
dolls. Right? End of the day, it's dolls. And you can also get pets. And the pets are parrots or birds or snakes or cockroaches or whatever your pets are. And those pets heal really quickly. So you can infect your pets with the disease and then take them, like vermin, into another city, and they infect everyone. So it's come these raids where people will run in with infected pets, and they'll just run through the cities, and you'll watch people like flip, 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 just die.
That's hilarious.
That's terrible.
It's ridiculous.
But it's gone.
It's gone.
I've heard that they've cleared it.
It is gone now because, God forbid, we have anything fun.
Well, what's fun about logging on and dying every 15 seconds?
Well, for you.
There's a lesson here. You need to, geek safely. Use protection when you geek.
That's right.
Come on.
That's true.
You need to be aware of where you log on.
I think we need
every
education.
Every time you play with someone on WoW, you are playing with all the people that person has played with. And all the people that people have played with.
All right, Peter.
Okay. Oh my God. My brain's going to so many weird places right now. Okay. We've talked before about some of the things that can happen when you download from the internet.
Yeah.
Right.
So now BitTorrent has started to have some of the problems that we've talked about in the past. Okay.
Corrupt files and things.
Yeah. Basically, some people are putting up corrupt files intentionally on BitTorrent so that when people try and download the movies, and now there's three titles that they have, and this might give you a clue as to who's putting this up. Hmm. The three titles are The Wedding Crashers, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, and the first three episodes of The OC. Now, when you go to download those right now from BitTorrent, you may get corrupt files.
And you may also get a virus.
Well, they haven't talked about viruses with this. They just talked about corrupt files.
Yeah.
But basically what they're doing is they've got different torrent servers that are lying and saying that these have been downloaded a lot so that people
spend all night downloading.
Well, the way it works is that if something's been downloaded a lot, people consider that a good file.
Right.
Okay, so people are now downloading those files, and they're just getting corrupt files. So it makes it so that when people are trying to basically steal stuff off the internet, it's very difficult for them to do.
Right.
So, we've talked about on
Gee, I wonder if that's a hacker or if that's a big, large corporation.
Mm. Yeah.
I think it's a hacker, Aaron.
Yeah.
I think that hacker
is definitely
doing
would
it.
Never do that.
Never. The MPAA.
The corporations are your friends.
Yeah, they're good people.
Yeah.
Well, you shouldn't be stealing the OC, first of all.
God forbid, because, actually getting a VCR hooked up to your TV
No, 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 no. You just shouldn't be stealing the OC or Charlie and the Chocolate Factory because they're bad.
They're bad, right?
Steal the Wedding Crashers. That's good.
I don't think Charlie and the Chocolate Factory was bad.
I liked it.
It was different.
It was different.
The Oompa Loompa was played by Frodo's stunt double from Lord of the Rings.
Okay, that was the creepiest Oompa Loompa ever.
You just didn't like him because he was Indian.
No, that was like the Oompa Loompa of Doom, man. He was a harbinger of
great.
Things to
now
come.
We're going to get the emails. First the South Koreans emailed us, and now it's going to be Indians.
So. I'm trying to alienate the entire planet.
Thank you.
One racial One group at a time.
And doing quite a good job at it, I must say.
All right, Don. Why don't, can you be rude to any particular racial group out there?
Jediites, maybe.
Oh.
How dare you.
There is a new dental aid on the market. It's still quite expensive, but this plasma pencil is being referred to as the lightsaber of dentistry. apparently, this thing can shoot a 5-centimeter beam of plasma out of the tip that they're suggesting would be an excellent way to clean people's teeth with.
That sounds like one of those things at like a dental convention where he's talking in front of the gigantic group of dentists and he's like, I call it the lightsaber of dentistry.
Moving on.
Moving on. Yeah.
apparently this thing, it's a cool plasma, which I've never heard of before. The first thing that came out of my mind was, okay, isn't the sun made of this crap? I mean, this is probably a bad thing to stick in your mouth in general. But they're saying it's perfectly room temperature. It's regulated by basically turning on and off an electric charge that keeps jetting away radiation off of a small particle of plasma.
Wait, who are those we make holes in teeth guys?
Oh, yeah.
We make holes in teeth. Who are those
that?
Guys?
We make that? Holes in teeth. Yeah. We make holes in teeth.
Were those old commercials, Chris?
Saturday morning cartoons?
Yeah.
It was Saturday morning.
Cavacreeps.
Cavacreeps?
Creepities?
Creeps.
I can't remember.
Cavity creeps.
So now they're like
cavity
totally.
Cavity creeps. Yes.
Cavity creeps.
Now they're totally armed with like laser technology.
Yeah.
Great. Great. That's all we need.
Well, apparently this one's quite farther advanced than the earlier versions of it, which sometimes carried the risk of electrical arcing. Yeah, which sounds like a bad idea in your mouth once again.
Who is the poor first human test that they did?
Someone who has a real fear of dentists now, if they didn't before.
Hi, I'm your dentist.
Yeah. Okay. Dentistry is the first application of this technology. Like, maybe somewhere else first.
Yeah, like
maybe,
then
they want to try and use it in place of scalpels, but they haven't quite gotten it to the point where it'll function that way yet. But they also think that they can get it to a point where they'll be able to target specific types of tissue for cancer patients.
Ooh. The lightsaber of dentistry. Did no one watch Star Wars? Did you see what lightsabers do to people?
Don't slip.
Exactly.
All right, I sense 1,000 people screaming out as though dentists have slipped the wrong way.
All right. Well, I have a quick... news from Hollywood here.
Excellent.
It has been said now that the new Superman movie is the most expensive movie ever.
Okay. Does that mean
bragging,
it's going to be...
the director was...
Bragging?
I don't know why Singer is bragging about spending lots of money on a movie that's going to flop.
He brags a lot, though.
Why
that's what I've heard.
Flop?
Well... I've seen a picture of what Superman looks like in his tights, and he
Lame.
Looks like a complete tool standing there.
Like
I mean,
a tool?
He's
a hood?
It's horrible.
It's
really
bad.
So
sad.
It's really that tight?
Yes, it's that tight. Oh. You can tell his religion.
Nice.
And
a tool, not his tool.
I just don't think people want to see
another
$326 million
Whoa.
Superman.
$326
million?
How much was Titanic?
Actually, I want to see it if it's good.
Okay, so Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire was $305 million.
That preview looks fantastic.
Titanic was $200. Spider-Man 2, $200. Dinosaur?
Oh, the Disney film.
Oh, right.
Oh, Dinosaur.
Yeah, that
the
big
animated.
Fork in my eye.
It was animatronic.
Oh, $200 million.
Not animatronic.
Waterworld, $175 million, goes down. Oh, geez. Van Helsing?
Yep.
$170 million. That was a big
Whoa.
Pile.
Yeah.
See,
an expensive pile.
Heads must have rolled on that pile.
Ooh, Alexander, $155 million, an even bigger pile.
Ooh, ouch.
If you are going to spend this type of money, though, it's good to spend it on something that's a franchise like Superman.
Ooh, speed 2, 150 million, another pile. So some of the worst... See,
I want to be into the pitch meeting for speed 2. All right. It's just like the first one.
But slower.
But it's on a boat. Because boats go fast. Boats
and
can go
fast.
It
doesn't star Keanu Reeves. Instead, it stars...
His girlfriend.
That guy.
Love interest from the first one.
Well, how suck-ass would it to be that Keanu Reeves would not sign on?
Because boy, he is a bit of a whore, isn't he?
Because he signs on to some...
Well, anyway. I think Superman Returns is going to be another flop on the top of the list here.
Kate What's-Her-Nuts is Lois Lane?
I don't know who What's-Her-Nuts is.
Which Kate What's-Her-Nuts?
Kate Bosworth, right? With the double-colored eyes.
I don't know who that is.
She was in Blue Crush.
Sounds like a wolf.
No, I didn't see that.
She's a hottie. Little blonde hottie.
She's a little blonde hottie.
She was also in that Bobby
Darin
movie.
Blue Crush.
Could you lean into the mic and say little blonde hottie?
She was also... Oh.
Yeah, actually...
I'm not falling for that one.
Okay, Christina. First news article.
I have the
you
article...
You should lean into the mic, though. So we can...
I have the article about video game company doing the OC video game. So you can get drunk and throw up and
shag your neighbor,
sleep with other people's mothers, or you could go out and do it in real life.
Are you serious?
Okay, here's
do you have to pay $40 to do it in real life?
See, this is just they do things. I mean, they constantly do this. They did this with Survivor, the video game.
Well, Survivor, the video game, it's a game show. So, yeah, you can make a video game out of a game show.
It's an adventure. This is a bunch of
twits.
Whiny teenagers sleeping with parents.
Crappy kids, wandering around.
Okay, maybe
anybody get naked in it? Come on.
Oh, actually, if you can make your OC kids beat the crap out of the 90210 kids, I might buy that game.
Yeah.
That would be fun.
Like a fighting game.
Yeah.
One of the OC guys is
a
vampire.
That's a very good idea.
They've got the slap.
Hair pulling, slap.
Can you fighting? Kill the OC?
Melrose Place, win.
I hear it's like The Sims.
Cancellation.
Actually, you can be one of the original characters, or you can create your own character to hang out with them.
And then you can
them
be a guest star on the show.
It's like The Sims.
I wonder if you can make a fat kid. Like,
oh, no, that's not allowed. Oh, okay. No, it's
the OC.
No,
it's
the OC.
No. That doesn't happen up there. Yeah.
People aren't fat.
Yeah. I had an audition to be a busboy on that show once. Sucked.
And they had some supermodel got the part instead.
Yeah, pretty much.
Can I get your dishes?
All right, Lisa.
We want ethnic, but not that ethnic.
All right. Now, I hate to bring everybody down with this one. There's been another catastrophe in the wake of Hurricane Katrina. And that catastrophe is that army-trained dolphins have escaped.
Wait.
They're armed. They're
armed. Army-trained dolphins.
Yes, they are
attack
armed
dolphins.
To kill. No, not to kill.
That's bottlenose to you, motherfucker.
they
you
have,
swear on your ship?
We get nasty.
Oh my gosh.
Racy.
It's like Flipper gone bad.
Flipper is armed and dangerous.
I caught you, motherfucker! Caught you!
Flipper is armed with toxic dart guns, and these dolphins, I'm serious, are trained to attack terrorists that are attacking military vessels, so they could conceivably, out in the wild, come across innocent diver.
I saw this article, and I'm really wondering how their experts are people who know people in the military.
Right.
So I'm wondering if this is just some absolute fruitcake or not.
Well, let me just tell you the quote from here, which is Leo Sheridan, 72, a respected accident investigator who's worked for the government in some capacity, said he received intelligence from sources close to the U.S. government's Marine Fisheries Service confirming that the dolphins had escaped. So that's the source.
How do the dolphins recognize a terrorist?
I think they're trained to kill divers who look like they're
anybody who's diving with a turban.
Nice. There goes another email volley, Matt.
Sorry.
By the way,
if they're armed with poison darts, did they give them blowguns?
No, it just goes into the blow hole.
On the top of the head.
No, actually, they're trained to spot people in wetsuits that are just in certain areas.
Yes.
They're supposed to circle certain areas. But if they're out of the area, you should finish your story.
Well, the story is that they could come across an innocent diver out in the wild and shoot them with these darts that apparently knock them out for 4 hours because they're supposed to knock the terrorists out so they can interrogate them. But
can
if they're out in the wild...
freaking lasers on these things? beams. Freaking lasers.
Okay, upgrade. This has got to be obviously in response to the USS Cole. Remember the Cole? The Cole blows up. So who was the guy who pitched this? Who was
this
like, if we had dolphins in the water, this never would have happened.
No, no, no. This is the same guy that pitched the attack ferrets.
That was the first
and
plan.
The mongoose of doom.
Well, I know they've been using dolphins in military stuff
for
a long time.
For years.
Yeah, like they're using them to sweep for mines.
Right. In Iraq, they're sweeping. They're,
really?
They're
I didn't know that.
Used.
Dolphins
yeah.
sweeping for mines?
Well, here it says right
Well,
here.
In the water, the, Matt.
The project gained impetus after the Yemen terror attack on the USS Cole, right? Yeah. And then dolphins have also been used to detect mines near an Iraqi port.
That's just wrong, though. Sending a dolphin out to go blow up mines.
Yeah, talk yeah, about using on. A third party that's
just
not involved.
I just had this
image
of you dragging a dolphin through the desert. There's one.
I mean, you know, you get the balls and swim out there yourself and disarm the goddamn mine. I mean, leave the damn dolphins alone.
Yeah,
they just
poor
Flipper. They just want to have sex and eat fish.
Yeah.
So long. Thanks for all the fish. All right,
well,
are we
if,
done with the
If
news,
they were
you...
cute,
no, no, no.
Would we care as much? True. Like, if they were training sea cucumbers to hunt for mines, would we honestly care?
You know? If you could train a sea cucumber, I'd care.
They actually train dogs and mice to find mines, apparently. Hmm. And they started training the mice because the dogs got bored and blew themselves up.
Yeah, I've heard that.
So the the mice are very focused because they know they get food if they find the mines. They never get bored. And they're too light to blow it up. So.
Interesting.
That's cool.
You know, weird I heard, trivia. Speaking of dogs that have jobs, which is a show on the Animal Planet, I heard that they have dogs that go out and find dead bodies. They're trained to find dead bodies, but that only works for a couple of times because they get depressed and they have to just retire them and have
actually,
them.
They've come up with a way to keep those dogs interested. Do you know how they do this?
No.
This is kind of interesting. They have people go out and hide, right?
Yeah.
And then they send the depressed dog out to look for that person. And then when the dog finds that person jumps up, acts all excited, and gives the dog a big hug.
Oh.
And it's supposed to be positive reinforcement
some live
for the dog.
Oh,
yeah.
Great.
Aww. That's sweet.
Dogs with jobs.
It's touching.
Animal Planet.
Sweet.
Dogs with jobs. Here on Geek Song.
All right. So, Tebow breaks devices, then charges you $150 if you don't like the new deal, which sucks.
Wait,
what?
They break your
yeah.
box.
Okay, so. I'm doing a little bit of a Weekly World News with this story, but you know.
Okay.
Earlier this month, TiVo owners discovered that a mandatory, non-optional update to their TiVos changed the built-in software so that broadcasters could flag certain shows for automatic deletion and for restriction from use
what?
With TiVo to go. They could basically say, basically, they found this out because there was a glitch, and The Simpsons and Family Guy got tagged for deletion. And people mm-hmm. were like, hey, whoa, 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 what are you doing with my Simpsons episode and my Family Guy episodes? And they were like, oh, no, no, not a problem. We just had a glitch. But when people did more research into it, they found out that the reason why this was happening was because TiVo was monitoring shows and could say, we don't like this show. We want it deleted off of the box. So this guy who's a TiVo owner decided to cancel his TiVo service. You know, he'd bought a device that could record all the shows, not one that could record all the shows, save those that one, you know, that some paranoid Hollywood executive or a broadcaster or a technician gave him permission to record. So he was like, fine, I'm canceling my subscription. And they charged him $150 for canceling it. So.
F you. Hey, guess what I do? because I have the DirecTV TiVo, I just unplug my TiVo. I don't get any, I don't have any connection to the phone. And I've been doing it for a whole year and I don't need it.
You don't download the program?
No, because it comes from satellite.
Huh.
Know what I do?
So, F you.
I use a VCR.
I've had really good experiences with TiVo.
No, I mean, it's a great
I love
product.
It changed my life.
The problem yeah. is that...
it changed my life.
Yeah.
Well, you could actually watch shows rather
best
than...
best thing that's ever happened.
It is the greatest
yeah.
thing.
You could also be on them and then watch them later and not have to, you know...
She doesn't do live shows.
Why not?
What?
That's right.
You don't have to run home before they start airing. You do the show, and you can run home real quickly before like you can see yourself on the show.
Yeah, fine, whatever. But there's now that there are all these competitions to TiVo coming out, all the new products.
Well, the big problem is they're coming out with this TiVo to Go, which allows you to burn shows to disk. And that causes problems with the movie industry and the television industry, because they don't like the idea of you copying perfectly digital shows onto DVD. Mm-hmm. So what they do is they say, they pressure TiVo, and they say, okay, we won't sue the living daylights out of your company if you give us the ability to lock or delete shows that we want to delete or lock, so you can't burn it to DVD.
Yep.
So TiVo, who wants to sell TiVo to Go, of course, says yes. And now we get a shitty device.
Yep.
And then you go buy the box set of whatever was deleted off
your... Well, then you go to BitTorrent and you download it for free. Yeah. And you say, F you.
Nonsense. They're creating unless their BitTorrent's own been infected, in which case...
You know. By probably TiVo.
Yeah.
Those bastards.
Damn you, TiVo!
Damn you all.
I love TiVo. I mean, seriously, I...
But they keep on jacking their products.
I would prostitute myself to buy a new one to raise money, because it's changed my life. I mean, it really has.
They keep on coming in and they go, all right, here's a great product, a la iTunes, right? And have you heard about this new iTunes thing where they're going to charge more than 99 cents?
I heard that it wasn't that they were going to charge more. It's that
they were talking about it.
Someone's trying to force them to charge more.
Right. For they want only the bad songs to be 99 cents, and anything that's actually a hit or anything that you want to be more than 99 cents. It's the same guy who believed in standardized pricing for the CDs. Ages and ages ago?
Yeah.
He's trying to do it again.
You just insinuated that the hits were not the bad songs.
That's right.
That's true.
So we might
bring that to your attention.
That's contradictory, isn't it?
I mean, there are a lot of... that might be great for me, because the songs that I like, no one's listening to.
I've seen your Britney Spears
collection. Aaron wants all the old Pet Shop Boys. That's all he wants.
That's true.
But Roxette collection is going to skyrocket.
But Aaron, it's not like they're going to charge less for the other songs. They're still going to be 99 cents, so you might as well just...
Well, they should put it on a scale. You know, if it's a really bad
song.
Yeah,
if you try
song,
and raise the prices on some, you better lower the prices on others.
That's right.
Yeah, the whole thing that makes it work is that it's 99 cents. 99 cents is a certain price point. It works for people in their head. I'll pay 99 cents for a song. Mm-hmm. When you start going up to a certain point, people won't use it as much.
I know the way my brain works.
Listen to your heart.
I may hesitate to buy a song that's a dollar that I might not hesitate to buy a song that's 99 cents. I mean, I know that's insane.
It's psychological.
I know that's stupid, but I can't help it, you know?
That is insane and stupid, Don.
Nice. I embrace that. I make it my own.
I think all of 50 cents songs should be 50 cents.
Oh,
nice. It just really has a good kind of ring to it.
He's going to change his name to Buck 50 Cents.
He will.
That's exactly what he's going to
do. Blink 182 is going to rake it in, though.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Are we done with news?
Yes,
that's
I'm
it.
News.
All right, so because this is our Firefly, I can't even say that.
Firefly. No,
Firefly/Serenity episode.
Excellent.
Why don't you partly talk about what the show is first?
Okay.
For those of you who don't know,
so Joss Whedon, who developed the Buffy the Vampire Slayer franchise.
Oh my God, I love you, Buffy.
Sorry.
Also developed a series called Firefly, which was on the air for a year and unfortunately canceled. And
after
then,
how many episodes was it, Lisa?
It was 14 episodes.
14 episodes.
How come there 14 still, hours.
12 of which aired, right?
11 yeah. aired?
I can't remember if it was 11 or 12.
Because I'm watching it right now and there's so many that have not aired. And I was like, like your second episode didn't air.
Right,
it was such
right.
a bummer because it was a great episode.
And aired in Canada.
Oh, aired in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And it had such a strong fan base, though, that they've turned it into a movie called Serenity, which I've heard really good things about. So we have some people here to talk about it.
Yes.
Well, the genre of it, for those of you who aren't familiar with it, is it's a Western put in space. So Serenity is the name of the spaceship. They fly around from all these different planets, and every planet is kind of like the Western town in the Western.
Yeah. Why weren't there – well, there was actually – your second episode was the only – other planet that I saw that was not Western. Everything else was just
So our viewers know who you're talking to.
Sorry.
And what you're talking
Christina.
About.
Christina.
We have Christina Hendricks here, who played the esteemed Mrs. Reynolds in two episodes.
Well, Saffron.
Or Yosaf Bridge.
Oh, Yosaf Bridge.
Many names. We don't know the real name.
Right. I liked Yolanda.
Yolanda was just weird.
Yeah. And I like the way you played the line where you're like, my name is not Yolanda.
But apparently a lot of our listeners already know who she is, judging from our forum boards.
Excellent. And Lisa Lasik.
and the esteemed Lisa Lasik, who was the editor and associate producer on the Firefly series.
And also edited the Buffy musical episode.
Well, that's what I was about to get into. I can't let that slide.
And also, at the premiere of the movie the other night, when your name came up, people were like screaming and clapping and going nuts.
Yes,
that was
my,
so nice.
My four friends in the audience.
Oh, people were like,
it was very touching. Yeah.
You know, did I send you that review that you got? There's a
I did get that.
And your name was actually brought up, which editor in a movie?
What editor have you heard of? But I mean, the thing I have to focus on for 1 minute, because I'm a Buffy fanboy.
You have
no edited the freaking musical episode, and I had no idea of that. Okay. Something you need to understand is editing is something my friends and I never talk about when we're watching TV shows, ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And about halfway through, no, not even halfway, about a quarter of the way through the musical episode, two of my friends, who never talk about anything with TV shows, turn to me and go, could you imagine having to put this damn thing together?
Yep.
It was so much fun. It was so much fun.
It was amazing. You did an amazing job. Go watch the freaking thing if you haven't seen it.
Yeah.
By the way, that episode is one of the ones that's bootlegged and people show all over the place.
Oh, really?
That's how I saw it, was someone came over and said, you have to see this. And we all sat down and watched that episode.
Non-Buffy fans.
Now, as an
episode.
Editor, Lisa, were you one of those kids that just repeated things over and over and over and over again?
What do you mean? What do you mean? No, but I was a kid who had one of those Fisher-Price projectors where you had the cartridge of the movie and you could crank it and you could slow it down and make it faster. Yeah. I don't know if that has anything to
that
do with
has
anything.
Everything
with
to do with it.
But that was my introduction.
Aaron, did you have one of those?
Yeah, you were kept on getting in front of it and trying to perform for it.
I had the
Aaron had a ViewMaster that he spliced all of the different photos together.
No, we had a little Fisher-Price movie camera.
We had the first Fisher-Price video camera that recorded directly to
cassette tape.
It was
awesome. It was called the Pixel Vision.
That was so cool.
And I sold that, and I wish I hadn't, because they sell for like $400, $500 right
now.
Wow. They're collector's items. And people are still making films with them.
I know. I don't know why. I know it's supposed to have this look, but it's terrible. It's a terrible look.
It's like my Game Boy camera. It's
like exactly.
8 bits of photograph. What are you going to do with that? I don't know.
Woohoo! Commodore 64.
So that's Serenity, Firefly.
Yes.
And then there are four fans in the room. That's
right.
It, really.
Now, the movie Serenity is coming out
this Friday. Your local theater.
30th. Yeah.
Did I hear it's actually coming out on Wednesday? In some places?
There are a couple places, actually several cities, I think, that are showing it at midnight on Thursday.
Okay.
But it's still officially
the 30th.
Midnight
viewing.
Yeah.
That's a rare and reserved slot.
It's
like,
only in a few places.
You got
though,
some serious fanboyage then.
Yeah. No, the fans are what motivate everything. Really.
So are they thinking of bringing it back as a television show after the...
I don't think that is a possibility. It would be a franchise in movies before it could come back to TV. And I think that was part of the deal they made when Universal bought the rights from Fox.
Really?
Yeah. I think Fox said, okay, you can make a movie, but don't be thinking about making a TV show, even though we canceled it and we hated it and we ran it into the ground.
Well, before we get into the whole show, let's start with you, Lisa, just asking some questions about...
Well, one quick thing about the show, real quick, I want to throw out there. I mean, one of the things you just mentioned is how Fox ran it into the ground. So for those of you not familiar with Firefly, basically what happened when Fox aired it, they... did not air the pilot first.
No.
They aired the third episode or the fourth episode.
Yes.
Then they aired the second episode. Then they aired the pilot. Then they aired the seventh episode.
They actually aired the pilot last, which is some weird sort of poetic justice. We were canceled, and they said, oh, but we are going to air the pilot last. That's what they did.
That's just dumb.
Yeah.
Do you know the reasoning behind that at all?
I guess, in that we made this beautiful 2-hour pilot we were all really proud of that introduced the characters and built up the story in an elegant way, and they hated the pilot. They hated the pilot, and I'll tell you why. It's because I think for Fox, let's say, or for network television in general, the blending of genres, like the sci-fi western, was a really hard pill for them to swallow. And
I don't understand why.
It's just something, I don't know, because it's unusual, or people are like, how can they have guns and not laser guns?
Here's,
I don't understand.
I'll bet you this is the thinking. They think that a fan will be willing to watch a sci-fi thing, But if the sci-fi fan doesn't like Westerns, they won't give that a shot.
That's
right.
So well, they'll alienate half their audience.
Right. First of all, we're talking about a whole bunch of executives trying to outthink the audience.
Right, and so they don't understand sci-fi, and they don't understand the fact that sci-fi is always about thinking outside of the box and always about sort of stretching the reality that is. Which is
and that sci-fi. Joss Whedon's brilliant.
Yeah.
And had these major successes for them, and why not trust the guy?
And created a whole universe.
I've heard that's the same problem Matt Groening ran into with Fox, where they don't want that one individual to have that much power. So they tend to sabotage their second piece or their third piece in an attempt to knock them down a peg or two.
Ridiculous. You know? That sounds weird. I mean, why would they not turn down money?
Sometimes people do that. I mean, I've seen people do some weird stuff. Mm-hmm. But I got to say, I mean, I really like the series, you know. But I do understand that there's something not quite blended in terms of the Western sci-fi element.
Right.
You know, it needs a little more. I mean, it should keep those extremes, but it needs a little more of that middle ground.
Yeah, it never
where you see a little bit of both sides of it at the same time.
But I didn't think that was a fault of the show. I thought that was a fault of basically it didn't get to find its rhythm yet. You know, the first season of Buffy is the same way, where it hasn't found the difference between okay, this is vampires, this is high school, and ne'er the twain shall meet. You know, and then it wasn't until the third season where it was suddenly like, oh, this is all one contiguous world. It's very interesting.
Well, that happens almost every show
out there.
I mean,
especially sci-fi shows.
Yeah, like every
it's hard to make a universe.
Every time a Star Trek series comes out, the first season is atrocious, and then, you know, the second season they figure out how to use the tools that they've created.
Right.
And, you know, every show has that. But
wait, I'm sorry, Don just went, it's hard to make a universe.
Sorry. He's tried a lot.
Don's been making universes for...
It's what I do.
Yes.
All right, Lisa?
Yes.
First of all, one thing I want to know is what have you done before Firefly came out? I mean, what got you to that point?
Well, I started as a lowly assistant editor on a little show called Angel. And I had never heard of Buffy or Angel. In fact, when I first walked into Angel, they had a Buffy poster, and it was Buffy and Xander. And I looked at Xander. I was like, oh, Angel. Okay, that's who this show is about. Excellent. And I had no concept of it. And I worked on Angel for a couple years.
Angel was your entry drug?
Yes, it was. Excellent. And then, by the way, while I was at Angel, because Buffy was upstairs, like we all worked in the same building, mm-hmm. I went up there and I started borrowing tapes of Buffy. And I literally got to see it from episode one all the way through. And I just kept like going to the library and renting more. And it was really, really fun. And it was hilarious because I'd been working on Angel for a while by then. And after seeing, let's say, season two of Buffy.
Right.
And then finally realized who Angel is.
And then I went to some Angel function and I saw David Boreanaz and I was starstruck by him because I had just seen season two of Buffy. I was like, oh my God, it's Angel. And then, the whole first year,
Lisa.
I was like, who is this person?
Lisa,
I don't even care.
No. You're
But that's how it changed me watching the Buffy series. But so on Angel is how I finally got the chance to meet and work with Joss Whedon, and it's actually a strange story. The way I first met him was that I cut a screen test for Amy Acker, who came onto Angel as Fred. I don't know if you know the character. And they really wanted to hire her, and Joss wrote this hilarious, like, Shakespearean comedy scene for her, which she performed with the guy who plays Wesley and the guy who plays Gunn. And I cut this little scene for Joss, and that was, like, my sort of entry to him.
Oh.
And
how was he to work with?
Well, I just spent 14 months in a room with him. He's great to work with. You know, he's so much fun to work with. He's just a genius.
What was it?
A friend.
Peter and my mentor, basically, he has a saying, which is that when sort of the shit hits the fan on a set, people who are directors usually will go back to what their strength is. They'll go back to their strength as a writer if they're formerly a writer. They'll go back to their strength as an actor if they're if they're an actor before, they'll go to the actors to try and fix the problem. If they're a writer, they'll try to go to the writer to fix the problem. If they're an editor before, they'll go to the editing to fix the problem. What does Joss primarily do?
I think he's primarily a writer, but I think people really underestimate him as a director because, you know, if you see the Buffy and Angel episodes and the Fireflies, that he directed, they stand so apart from the other episodes in the way they're crafted and put together. So, yeah, I think he's the whole package in terms of a director. Like, I think of him as a director, but, you know, of course, his great skill is as a writer, and he's probably the only director I've ever worked with who is so able to just toss out his darlings. Like, well, we tossed out scenes out of the movie I couldn't believe with
that's
such
good.
Ease. Like, he has the big picture.
Because directors have that problem.
Yes,
and
exactly.
And that's the reason why we have to watch these 2.5 damn hour movies all the time. Because they can't cut their own
They can't
shit.
At all. And especially when they've written it, they're like, my words are gold. But not Joss, not at all.
So I'm not a director. Like, I don't think in those terms. I don't know about it in the movie industry. But I heard a saying that you have to cut your favorite scene.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Kill your darlings, I think, is the expression.
Why is that?
Time to kill your babies.
Time to kill some babies.
It's, I mean, that, I think that expression is just to show, don't fall in love with something. Just don't. Because when you fall in love with it, you no longer have the perspective you need to make the movie the best movie you can. And I'm telling you, Joss never, ever has had that problem. And
Were you, Christina, were you in episodes that he directed?
I unfortunately wasn't, but he was really present, but he wasn't.
Well,
I did notice something really interesting in the background, though. Christina was in an episode of Angel once upon a time.
I was. It was my second job ever.
Really?
Wow. I was an Irish barmaid.
Oh, that
was an
you.
Irish barmaid.
Oh,
I had, I think, 2 lines in it.
Wow.
Nice. So, like, did you work on that episode?
Yes, yeah.
So you two have worked together before?
Yeah, when Angel was young and in Ireland.
Yeah, and I was terrified.
Oh, yeah?
And it was my second job ever, and I had to do an Irish accent, and David Boreanaz put his head in between my breasts and sort of shook his head around, and I was like, "Hey, Devin, it's happening."
Wow, what an introduction.
Exactly. Thanks. That's your seven.
That was
cocaine.
In the scene. That was
She's
in the
doing
scene.
Cocaine in like a bathroom after that. The salt down there. That's where the dark side of
it. That's what it began.
Now,
David Boreanaz's head in your breasts, and then the rest is history.
His life is corrupt. I hate it.
Now in Firefly, you have a great character.
Yeah, you're the... I told Maureen I would say this, Aaron's wife. I told her that you are a fabulous vixen. Just a fabulous vixen.
Thank you.
So fabulous, we had to bring her back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I felt so lucky to come back.
Oh, you were... I mean, come on. The way they pegged it, you were going to come back a lot.
Mm-hmm. Well, she was a beautifully written
villain.
Yeah, it
looked like that was a character they meant to bring back more than a few times.
Yeah.
So real quickly, then, how does one get a part on Firefly? How did that come out for you?
You know, it was one of those auditions that I have several a week and went Firefly on my appointment sheet. Okay, going in, gonna read my lines. And I think I had to come back for a callback probably. I came back and auditioned one more time and then got it. And I didn't know about it. And I don't even know if it had started airing yet. When I first...
I don't think it has.
It's an early-ish episode.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it was maybe episode
5.
4 or 5, yeah. So I didn't know about it yet, and I knew it was sci-fi, and I thought, oh, my brother and my dad are going to love this. It's sci-fi.
So, strange actor-to-actor question. Since Saffron in the show turns on a dime, her mentality turns on a dime, and she goes from this sort of sweet, innocent, oh, my God, what's happening to me, girl, to Vixen Supreme... was that in the sides that they gave you for the audition?
Where did you get the information about what Joss or the director wanted? Was there a lot of conversation before that, or is it written there? Or
well, usually in the sides, it sort of indicates the character. So I'm trying to find out whether or not they went.
I don't remember what the character breakdown was, and I know I wouldn't have had a script, so I would have only had one or two scenes.
Right.
And
you don't know whether or not it was sort of flipping.
I don't remember, honestly.
Hmm.
I'm sorry to say it, yeah.
But when you finally got the script and you started working, how did they, when was the communication about how you were to approach that role? Or did they just hand you the script and go, okay, let's see what happens?
No, Joss actually sat down with me and we talked about it. He was really involved and it was really cool because as a guest star on a show...
The creators have popped down.
You don't meet anybody. I mean, no one really pays attention to you. You come in, you do your job, and you leave. And we sat down and talked about specific scenes and really what we wanted to see and what kind of...
Wow.
I mean, that's an extraordinary experience for a guest actor to come on
especially
and get that.
Especially for... That wasn't an episode you even directed.
No, didn't even.
But he did write that episode.
Yeah. He did write it.
Plus, you got to do the fun stuff. I mean, truthfully, and this is not blowing smoke, but I thought your episodes were the best ones of the series that I saw.
There was a third one that rocked my world, but I agree.
Really?
The two.
Thanks
two
a lot, Don.
No, two of the three. That's great.
The one where they run out of gas, I think, should have been the pilot.
I agree.
Yes.
That's my third one.
Absolutely. And that should have been the pilot.
And that one was really, Lisa, superbly edited.
Oh, yes.
Superbly edited. The parody of the beginning moment
that
to
one.
The...
You
did? Oh, you did edit that one. Okay.
Oh, it was amazing.
Yeah, I mean,
that's one of my favorite episodes, but it was like beautifully written. I mean,
yeah.
It was written so that the scenes flowed into one another.
Yeah,
I mean,
I thought that basically if you had added how the Doctor and his sister came on the ship and added them just a little bit later, then that could have been a perfect pilot episode.
Yeah. Because it was also mysterious.
Yeah.
Like him getting up off the floor as the first scene on a show you've never seen before, to me, I think... Yeah. Well, why are we telling you this? Okay.
Well, come on.
But, I mean, I almost wish that I didn't know anything about him. When I started watching the episode, I was thinking, oh, shoot. I know who he is. Damn.
I'm getting a little artsy-fartsy with this, but I think what I loved about the editing on that one episode is this one of the same things I loved about Christina's performance, which is in the first episode you did, which is in both of those... Editing-wise, in the out-of-fuel episode, every scene, you're turning on a dime. Every single scene, it's like you're watching one thing, and then it does 180, and you have to walk in a different direction for a little while. In Christina's first scene, once you come out, so to speak, and you become your big villain itself, you dash it, Vixen you. I just remember three scenes in a row where you have to... you make an approach, and the approach fails, and you have to change your tactic... and do a 180 and do something else entirely.
Yeah.
And they did such a good job catching you on each of those moments, and you nailed each of them, incidentally.
Yeah.
Thank you.
The one on the bridge with the actor who was the pilot, I can't remember.
Yeah, did you have to do your own Tybo for that?
I was going
to
ask, did you do your own kick there?
You know, I did... I did all the fighting, but there was an... It's all me.
I trained her
it's
when
all
she was
me.
A theater
no, I did. I learned all... I did all the fight scenes.
There's one
and then there's
really
a stunt,
good spin
well,
kick.
Wait a minute. Then there's a stunt double who does them too, but I was like, hey, I'm kind of badass, people. Like, I'm getting this down, and I thought I was so good. And then I saw the show, and I was like, oh, that's not me. I guess I wasn't nearly as good as I thought I was.
Nice.
So there are a few little things that are me, but
there
was a real badass stunt double, and she
but
was good.
We can't discuss the Mrs. Reynolds episode without discussing the pivotal moment between you and... Inara? Is that her name at the end?
It's a great scene.
Shekshashin.
It's one of those things, but our writers would actually track us down and hurt us if we didn't ask about that scene.
Were you actually attracted to her in that moment?
I am still attracted to her.
That woman.
Yes.
That woman,
what's her
actress name?
Morena Baccarin.
She is unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
And to top
beautiful.
It off, she nails so many scenes in that series. I was really liking her.
She's wonderful.
Does she have sort of a Hispanic nature off the set?
She's Brazilian.
Hispanic nature.
I was thinking Middle Eastern.
No, I think she's Brazilian because there's one thing where I think it's in the second or third episode where the captain says something to her and she gets ticked off and she does this head thing, which I was like, that is so every Cuban girl I've ever dated. You know? Where I was like, what was that? And I rewinded it, played it again, and was like, because she does that. She's literally like, what? You did not? I was like, wow.
Isn't her mother an actress, too, in Brazil?
Oh, actually,
I think
don't
she
know.
Told me that her mother was
a
successful actress in Brazil as well. She's stunning. She's stunning.
She was cast at the absolute 11th hour.
Really?
We had another Inara, which we'd shot a day with, and by the end of the day, it was clear it's not working out. So I think Joss met her in his, like, she was the first one he met the next day, and the next day after that, she was shooting.
Wow.
They hired her, and she had just come to LA.
One of the things about the casting of the women on the show, and this is including you, Christina, is that they are women. And they are really, I mean, they're bombshells in many ways, and they're beautiful, but they're truly, no, they're not waste. They're not the OC. They're not, you know, sort of this artifice. They are truly women. And I felt like they existed.
That's for one thing.
Well, yeah, they existed within the world of this Western, you know, where it was like, wow, this is, you know, you as a vixen on the show, Christine, I was going, okay, this is great casting. Because, you know, this is not only because I like your stuff, but because I was going, okay, this is who this woman would be within this, you know, setting.
Well, I love Gina Torres. I mean, let it be known before I make any statements that are going to get my ass kicked by all of her fans. I love Gina Torres passionately.
She's amazing.
But I would have loved to have seen at least one more woman on the series at some point who was a little bit more brick shithouse, you know?
Yeah.
You have all these butch warrior women running around, and all of them look a little Hollywood-y to me.
Yeah, but she knew how to hold a gun. Yeah.
Yes, she did.
That always drives me crazy.
Well, I'm sure they taught her how to do that on Cleopatra 2525.
Oh!
She was on that
what
show?
She was.
Cleopatra.
That's right.
Oh, in the year 2525, there are women with the will to survive.
And she got work after that?
Thank
show?
You. She got work on The Matrix. She got work on Hercules. She got work on Xena.
She was on
the
Alias.
The chick has been on Alias. Though I think they underused her in Alias. She just disappeared.
Wait. Who
was
she in Alias?
She was another agent, sort of like the antagonist to Sydney. Yeah.
Super enemy, but she just disappeared after season one. I don't know what happened.
I thought she was supposed to come back.
But, I mean, you know.
Was she
you
the
can't
enemy
another...
agent?
Yes.
I remember her.
Remember,
oh my gosh.
They open the case and they both have to memorize what's in it.
Peter's now had
issues. I have loved her since Hercules.
Peter, you had a geek epiphany there.
But Don, you have she's the warrior of the show.
She is the warrior of the show.
And then even like Christina's character, your character really is the captain's arch enemy.
Yeah,
they're well matched, right, they're, which I think is great.
Yeah, your character, even though they I thought were trying to drum up Nishka as an arch villain. And he's kind of an arch villain as far as like a big corporation. Like
he's impossible.
But really,
he's the Lex Luthor.
Yeah,
but he's never smart enough to beat the crew.
Yeah,
there's only one person ever who kept showing up, which is your character. Your character is the arch enemy, only person who could beat the crew every time.
And it's great how she beats it, because it's you on your own versus the entire crew.
Yeah, she's really good at being bad.
Yeah.
And the thing is that even at the end of the episodes where she's, you know, in a dumpster or such and such, you know that if she came back again, she would have some new scheme. Like,
and be on top of it.
Can twist it around so quickly.
Yeah, it was really, really great.
Just quickly, did you go out, did you spend much time on the sets?
Not as much as I would have liked.
I want to just know what you thought about the sets, since you were there filming on the sets. Were they... I mean, that was the first time you've been to a sci-fi set.
I know. It was fantastic. And I was so excited to see the spaceship, because I was like, all right, there's going to be a spaceship here. And they built the whole ship.
How
it was on one of the biggest.
It?
It was in two parts, like one whole, basically the two floors of the ship were two separate sets, but they went all the way through. They were completely interconnected.
They were connected.
Yes.
Oh, okay. I didn't
know
they had done
the way you see it, them traveling through the ship, is how you do it.
Yeah,
I mean,
to me,
so they built
the
inside
actor.
Of the ship pretty much straight out.
To me, I mean, like the way I think it's one of the first episodes where just the toilet goes back in and then the basin of the sink comes out above it. I was like, this is a spaceship in the future. It makes so much sense to me. Everything's
practical.
About space efficiency, practical, you know.
But I love
that spaceship design is cool looking, but that's the most inefficient spaceship on the freaking face of the planet.
It's supposed to be a piece of crap.
It's supposed to be a piece of crap. But a real efficient
but
ship
looked,
would be like a cube.
It looked western-y. Yeah. It looked like a western spaceship.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
cool. It looks kind of like a space cow or something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I loved how raw it was inside. I mean, it really felt like you were out trying to steal shit and, you know, make your way. And
yeah, I was waiting for the series to find that area where they basically said, all right, the outer frontiers, they are the root of westerns. They're basically really, really hardcore westerns. But when you get closer to the inner frontier and the Alliance, it's a lot more high-tech, modern.
Well,
That's exactly the premise.
Every time the bad guys showed up, it was your typical sci-fi white walls, white hallways, looked like a hospital. They shot in a hospital or some crazy thing. And then when they went out to the towns, it was all western.
Right.
That's what I think even maybe Peter brought up is I was hoping, and that maybe it happened in episodes we'll never see, is... there was never that kind of connection between the two that we ever got to see.
Well, it sort of can be geographically understood that the core planets are the central planets governed by the Alliance. Mm-hmm. And then outside of those, you have these, like, crappy border moons where, like, you know, people just go off to live who, you know, and they have no technology. Basically, it's sort of like your frontiersmen or whatever who want to just go on and find new territory. They don't want to, or they're not unable to live within this system. And so these people, whatever, you know, displaced people they are, find these border moons, and they are just agrarian society starting from scratch.
Right. That was my only problem, was that even out in these border moons, they would still have a little more technology than they had sometimes. You know, like sometimes it would get so completely Western that it felt to me like if they had just had like next to the horse, a broken down, you know,
tractor
or something, that mm-hmm. that would, like, tiny would little things just to connect it so that it felt like, yeah, they still had technology. You know, they didn't travel through time. They still had technology.
Right.
And it did completely happen in the episode.
A couple of them were very 1800s suddenly, and it was like...
Well, so I think this was the level of technology they had. Like, if you're starting from scratch, you're going to use horses for labor, you know, things
and
like that.
And that completely made sense to me, and that I dug. And I was like, you know, that's great, you know.
One of the last episodes also actually deals with a planet where that's the conflict. Right. The rich people brought technology with them, and the poor people didn't have it. So
that's the one, Peter. Yeah. I haven't given Peter that distance.
Yeah, it's hard. You know, we're talking about an entire universe that they tried to explain in 12 episodes. Normally, we get Star Trek, which has had, 500 to 600 episodes? Like, if they haven't fleshed it out by then, and they still have problems, you know. We were talking about this the other day. We're like, it's like the freaking, you know, they've got horses. Like, why don't they just get, you know, drive motorcycles? And then we were talking, well, you know what? Horses self-repair. And they have other horses, so you don't have
they
to build
reproduce.
Another. Yeah. So we were talking about how, you know, maybe a sci-fi planet might want to use horses, but it was never talked about. So at first, our gut reaction is buy a freaking motorcycle.
Yeah. Well, I would expect genetically engineered super horses.
No, but seriously, like they
with
would
wheels,
be,
sure.
yeah, with an engine.
I, you know, but they did have little touches. I mean, things like in the bar, in the saloon, the window was a hologram.
That was
That's when it worked at its best for me.
It would be
in places. I mean, it always worked in its best when it had found that
small little
that area. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you remember when they did a slow pan up to the house of the doctor, and it was when they're doing a flashback to the doctor as a kid,
and the green fence.
And the green fence goes.
Yeah, that's great.
Right on by.
That's completely.
And I was like, genius.
And whenever they had that, it always worked at its best.
Exactly.
Although, can I?
I'm sorry, as an Asian actor, everybody's speaking Chinese on the show.
I said this just the other night at the premiere. I said, you know, the superpowers are supposed to be
Chinese,
China and
United States. Right.
And there's all this Asian stuff. And I said, it must have been thought through. And there must be a reason why I'm not seeing Asian people.
Yeah, and there are Asian extras, but there was not a single one person in the cast. And you know what? The way the doctor should have been Chinese. And I should have played it.
But,
we see you in the real root of all this.
In the movie, I didn't see any Asians. I thought maybe the bartender was part Asian.
Well, you know what I thought was weird?
Bartender.
Is it seemed like all the corporation, like, evil guys were black guys.
All right. I'm sure that was entirely intentional on the part of Joss Whedon. No, it was not.
I did think that, but I am curious that there was, you're right. China,
everybody's speaking in bad Mandarin.
There's a
with
mom,
the worst accent imaginable.
I had to do some of that bad Chinese.
Actually, you were pretty bad.
I'm a whitey white girl.
Oh.
All the cast complained
from
about
Idaho.
Doing that. It's hard.
I thought it was fun. Really hard.
It was fun, but I felt like a
Do you remember any of your Chinese?
Something Yi Dui Ro.
Yi Dui Ro, yeah.
Something
yeah.
like that.
Everybody got all of the... Because everybody's trying to do intonation on their Chinese. Like, they're trying to be sarcastic when they're saying they're
it's
Chinese.
It's hard enough.
And Chinese is a tonal language, which means you can't make it sarcastic because you change the meaning of what you're saying. Mm-hmm. And nobody ever
in the future,
told them. In the future, that language might have changed.
Well, let's talk about the transition to the movie, because we're going to have a lot of audience members who have not seen the television show. Yep. And so they're going to have to deal with, why do they have horses? Why do they have cowboy guns? And what do you guys think that response is going to be? Do you think people are going to embrace that, or are they going
to
be able to?
How do they? Okay, do they have to reintroduce everybody?
Christina, Lisa, and Aaron have all seen the movie at this point. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So, what do you think?
And I mean, actually, I
someone
saw the
who
movie
doesn't have a
first.
Background in the series, are they going to be able to sit down and watch it?
Absolutely, and it was designed with that in mind. And there is sort of a, not a prologue, but there is exposition that is cleverly weaved in to make you understand the world and, more importantly, the characters, because you get introduced to a boat full of people
right off the bat. Fast.
And, you know, and they have to establish that this is a ragtag bunch of people. They're in a ship that's just a freighter, really, and you have to understand that pretty quickly.
I saw the movie, and I had actually not seen the series. I had only seen the episodes that you were in. And actually, I think I'd only seen one episode you were in.
I think so, yeah.
Because I never saw the one that didn't air. Mm-hmm. So I'd seen one episode, and I was like, I don't get it. And never had seen another one. So I saw the movie not knowing anything really about the series. And I think it was fine. With what I saw, the setup was fine. I was not confused on the characters.
Now, as a person who's coming in as a quote unquote fanboy, what do you think now?
Well, I'm not going to review the movie.
Right? No. I'm saying, does it add to what you're going to get from the TV series? Is it another episode? Does it add to it, or is it just a standalone?
It is a.
I think it adds to it.
I think it's both. Actually, it is a standalone movie. I really seriously think you can go to that movie and not even go back to the television series if you don't want to.
It actually inspired me to go rent or buy
the DVDs. I have the DVDs now. But I think fans are going to love the fact that it deals with things I didn't think that I have a feeling that they wanted to deal with in the series and never got around to it. There's some things in it that I was that after seeing the show, I went, ooh, I bet you they're jamming a lot of, not jamming a lot, I bet they're taking things that they had thought about this series that could be and expanding upon this movie, which I think is going to make the fans happy with that. So it's not just going to be another episode.
Yeah. See, now this was interesting because my uncle brought this up. I went to his house to go for his birthday. And he said, I don't understand one thing about Hollywood. And I went, what? He goes, I believe in a swan song clause. And I went, what's a swan song clause? He said, I think if they pull a series after 6 episodes, after 8 episodes, mm-hmm. after 2 episodes, whatever, that director or creator of that show should have license to have 1 2-hour show where they can wrap everything up.
Right.
And they can just close it out and say, all right, stop.
It's like your last breath.
Yeah. It's the swan song clause. And I was like, that's pretty
good. That would be
good.
Because I have a couple series just stopped.
Yeah.
And I'm pissed.
Yeah. Angel, for one. Yeah. I was furious at the ending of it.
No, that was a planned ending.
That was a planned ending.
Oh,
right?
Whatever. I still resent it. I don't care.
It was still canceled before its time, honestly.
No, but they knew that was coming.
Yeah,
they didn't really. They kind of
during the season. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay.
That Miracles.
I thought I heard an interview.
Oh,
where
I love
Joss
Miracles.
You loved Miracles too.
I loved Miracles.
Someone else who saw the bloody series. Thank God.
I own the DVDs.
You were telling
me
about
DVDs?
Miracles.
Yes.
Could I borrow them?
Of course.
Thank you.
Of course.
John, you are such a whore.
You don't understand that the second episode in that series, the airplane episode?
Yeah.
My God. You know, I haven't cried watching TV like
nobody's
that.
Nobody's really heard of this show, so we should tell people, if you're at all interested in this sort of thing, it's, you know, this sort of investigator who sort of works for the Vatican, investigates miracles, uses a scientific approach. Mm-hmm. It's a fascinating show, and it goes places you would never expect. And it is out on DVD, and they only aired like
X-Files
four.
Meets Touched
is
by
that
an Angel?
The woman who was in the wheelchair and threw a vegetable?
Yes.
Reluctantly,
that's the one you worked with on Frasier.
I worked with her on Frasier.
Yes,
yeah.
You did.
Well, before we completely wrap this up, one thing I do want to talk about a little bit is the fans.
Yeah,
I
have a question for Christina, actually, on this. Because a couple things. I mean, first of all, it seems like your role was an incredibly fun role because you got to play so many different sides.
Shakespeare.
You know, you... Sorry. Yeah, you know, it's a very sexy role because you're seducing half the crew while mm-hmm. you're there. And you start off...
More than half the crew.
Oh,
more than half the crew.
Basically, everybody but Gina Torres.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, and you start off as this sort of waifish, lost farmer girl, you know, that's just looking for someone to take care of her. And then you...
Which is funny because you look like you're 5 feet tall when they're doing that, and you're taller than I am. So I was like...
I'm 5'8". Yeah, they made me.
You're just a little.
You're just
hobbit
little
over there.
Shut up.
When little people fight, then little.
All right, keep going, Peter.
So then, on a dime, you switch into this sort of. Is the word femme noir? Is that right?
Femme,
you
know, fatale.
Femme fatale. That's right. I knew I had that wrong. Femme fatale. You turn into this femme fatale. And
female dark? Female knight?
Yeah, I knew I had that wrong. I didn't know why. I couldn't figure out what it was.
Film noir.
We all knew what you meant.
Yeah, that's what it is. I got my wires crossed.
Though film fatale fits a few too.
Yes, it does.
And you have these great turns, you know, and now we're with it as you're doing it. And it's such a fun role.
Mm.
And it set you up as one of the few characters that's really distinguished in the series.
Mm-hmm.
Now, yeah. What type of fan reaction have you had based on that? Have you had a really strong fan reaction from this compared to other roles because of that, or...?
This role, people come up to me all the time about this role and know every little thing about not only the episodes that I was in, but the entire series. I mean, people are just so into this show. And mostly, I mean, every once in a while someone around town. Actually, I got stopped in the spa the other day. I was naked in the sauna and had to. Yeah. Wow. I'm serious. I was in Palm Springs.
Sorry, could you just say that whole thing over again?
Slowly.
Really slow.
I was, and I had
to
sit
there.
Could
you say it slowly in a deeper voice, like Kathleen Turner?
And it was this girl's birthday, and she wanted to sit and talk about the show in the steam room. And it was her birthday, so I sat there and talked to her about the show.
She went home to her boyfriend and was like, I got to sit in the sauna with Christina Hendricks. He's that fun. And it was good.
Funny. I can't believe it's my birthday.
But I didn't realize how many people were into this character until the premiere the other night. It was the best night of my life.
Tell us about it.
No, people were coming up and were so excited, and I was signing autographs, and people were like, you have to be in the sequel to the movie. If there's a sequel, you have to be in it. And so I went up to Joss Whedon as he was standing there, and I went to say hi and thank him, and he was surrounded by fans, and as I walked up, all these fans started saying this to me, and I was like, keep saying that to this guy right here. This is the guy who needs that kind of information.
Yeah. You don't need to tell me.
Great. Yeah.
But the fans are so great about this show, and I'm actually going to go do one of the sci-fi conventions in England, I think, in November, which I'm
really... You get
really,
to do a sci-fi
convention. I know. I'm really looking forward to it.
Do you need a bodyguard?
probably.
Yeah, come on.
But apparently there's people who are dressed up as Saffron at these conventions and stuff, so it's gonna be really fun, and they and nice. You know, the whole cast goes, and you know,
will you go
trip
to the premiere with us dressed as Saffron?
that would be so creepy and weird.
What do you think we're asking?
I dressed as Saffron and went.
I'd kind of enjoy it, Aaron.
What about you? Have you had
I just what I want to say about the fans is how they have rallied behind this movie, because it's a movie based on a canceled show. There's no stars in it, and they have supported it so hugely. You know, they've been doing their own marketing, actual guerrilla marketing, which I've never seen for a movie. There's sites you can go to where you can download flyers and you can print them out and post them, and they've been getting the word out, and everybody's like, you know, hosting parties to show Firefly to their friends, and it's just been so amazing, because that's just what this sort of story of Firefly is, these like little people that could, you know, these little people are scraping by, and that's what the show did even after it was canceled, you know, because of these fans, and that's why we have such high hopes for the movie will reach another entire audience.
Here quickly, just a bizarre thing talking about that. Last week we were talking about movies we want to turn into video games. So I quickly went on IMDb and looked up top 50 action films, top 50 sci-fi films. And you know, Serenity is in both on IMDb because of you vote. So many people, this is before the movie's out. So many people have voted, fans have voted for this movie on IMDb, which gets a lot of traffic, that it's bumped Serenity, which has not hasn't even hit the theaters, into the top 50 sci-fi and action films of all time.
I love that.
That's crazy.
Yeah. That's actually, I brought in a link for this time that's talking about the top 50 sci-fi shows of all time. Serenity is at number 15.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Really,
but
really
for
nuts.
Only having aired 11 episodes. You know?
No, it's...
I have a really interesting... I mean, well, I think it's interesting.
It's not really, but...
it's not really, but
We'll be the judge.
Okay. Joss Whedon started off with Buffy the Vampire Slayer as a movie.
That's right.
The movie, you know, was, you know, moderately successful. Really didn't take off the way the series did. And then he wasn't happy with what the way that they had done the movie, so he turned it into a TV series and did it the way he had intended it to be. And it became very, very successful. Now, it's interesting because the TV series that he did, which you can see all the potential, and it's a shame that it got canceled and that they destroyed it. You know, he's now taking it and turning it into a movie, which is... It's like he's the king of the resurrection.
Yeah, and it's pretty much unprecedented.
In more than one way.
Yeah, that's true. I can't think of another...
I think the only one I've even heard of is, I guess, Police Squad they made into the Naked Gun movies. Yes. But, you know...
And, of course, the blatant remakes of, like, 1980s sitcoms and stuff.
Right. The heinous remakes.
Just a good old boy.
But, yeah, it is amazing. And it is a perfect bookend, you know, to Buffy that he's doing something as crazy as this.
Well, actually, the perfect bookend will be if the TV show comes back.
Right.
You know, because I'd really like to see where... them develop it.
Yeah, you guys were saying, like, when you're watching the show, you felt like these were stories that were going to continue on, and honestly, Joss is one of those guys who can think seven years ahead in these characters' lives, and he had.
I love that.
Which is why the stories could not just die with the show, and why the movie was a way for them to get...
What bugged me out was when I had read an interview with the mother from Buffy, and she had said when she had initially been hired by Joss, he had told her the season, the episode... and what lines she would say when she would be killed at the end of it. And it was 5 seasons down the line.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, that's nuts.
And the television forum is so great because it's so many hours and so many stories can be told. And it is a shame because I happen to know, working on the show, the kinds of stories that they were planning, and they were amazing.
Wow.
Well, it's not over because the comic book... Serenity is coming out.
It is out. It's a 3-issue limited series, and there are 9 special covers, three covers per issue. But it's a limited series because it's just bridging sort of between the series and the movie.
Well, more storyline.
Well, I've heard there are novels out, too.
Novels out. And also the role-playing game. Serenity role-playing game appeared.
I want to play Saffron.
I heard I have a character. I met the people at the premiere.
At Gen Con. It's premiered at Gen Con, which was like 3 weeks ago, so it should be hitting the bookshelves
now.
Can we
bring your sister to Gen Con?
I'm going
to... Seriously.
Can we go really?
We will get into every event.
Will you go with us?
Everywhere.
Absolutely,
she said she would. You heard it here.
Verbal contract. Verbal contract.
Okay, Don, your bodyguard.
Yes.
We can go invade the Serenity booth and play and see if she if they'll allow him to play your character. Can I play
my character?
It's your
character. You have to.
Lisa, you're going
to
come with us, right?
There'll be some...
Excellent.
Some little nerd there sitting there. I thought I was going to play...
out of my way.
Move over, 10-year-old. Damn kids. Excellent.
Anyway, so that's also coming out. I don't know. Maybe I'll pick it up. See, I'm curious.
I'll pick it up. I'm curious. Absolutely.
Run a Firefly.
I will run a Firefly game. I will absolutely run a Firefly game.
You can come and play your own character.
Lisa, you're going to play?
Sure.
Excellent.
All right. Have you ever played a role-playing game before, Lisa?
Oh, yes. Oh, you know, when you were passing around your third grade, my sister and I used to do little dungeons for each other. And I was like, oh, my God.
And
so
we know Christina has experience in this, so she'll be signing up.
You know.
All
right.
Do we have anything else before the close it down?
Yeah. I was in honor of James Lipton.
Actors Studio.
Actors Studio, foot kisser galore. I thought we could close this out with the 10 questions to Christina Hendricks. As our first honorary actress.
Okay. Well, before we do that, I want to do the shameless self-promotion moment.
Okay.
What are the two of you working on right now?
So people
can keep an
shameless
eye open for both of you.
Oh, I just finished Serenity, so I'm like 100%.
On vacation.
Yes,
so you're
exactly.
working on a trip to Bali in the near future.
Yeah, that's right.
Lisa and I have been doing, since I haven't been working, we've been doing lunches.
Yeah, I know. It's so beautiful. Yeah. You have nothing to do in the daytime. It's lovely.
Excellent. Ex-Tina?
I just did an episode of Cold Case and an episode of Grey's Anatomy. Both of them should be out in the next couple
of weeks.
Fantastic.
Grey's Anatomy is a great show.
It's a really
good
show.
All right. And it was a great role. It was really fun.
All right. Let's load it down.
Okay.
I'm going to try my James Lipton voice.
Can Lisa do these too?
Yeah, sure.
I didn't know if they were only actors.
No. Let's
let
them
up.
Have you seen Actors Studio?
Yes, I have, and I know these questions. That's why I'm like, oh dear. I know.
James Lipton. All right. Question number one. What is your favorite word? Christina.
Can Lisa go first?
I was just looking at you. I was like,
what
Christina,
is your favorite word? What is your favorite word?
It's your favorite sound, isn't it?
No.
Okay.
We'll get through that.
That's just bizarre. There's just so many.
No.
Favorite word.
Quickly. Respond just as fast as you can.
I really can't even. My brain just stopped.
I like
just
the word
in
my brain. I like the word apocryphal.
Like this. What is it?
Apocryphal.
Bogart. Apocryphal.
Yes. Nice.
Apocryphal. Nice. I still don't have one.
Okay. Second question. What is your least favorite word? Tom Hanks's was horse shit, by the way, just letting you know. Not bullshit, but horse
I don't like moist.
Oh, that's a tell.
I don't like the see you next Tuesday word.
Right.
I don't like coupon. Coupon.
All right. I don't like beverage or refreshment.
I personally don't like clump because I think it turns any other language, any other word, worse than the word that was previously.
Moist clump is even worse.
Ew.
Yeah. All right. What turns you on creatively, spiritually, or emotionally?
I think people's imagination is what turns me on, because that's why I love science fiction and all things imaginary.
Lisa! Do you have to use the phrasology, what turns you on?
Yeah.
It's like, that's like what makes it weird. It's like,
James Lipton is saying it. Yeah.
What turns you off?
Somebody said this.
Money.
Money turns you off?
I'd say bureaucracy.
Oh,
yeah.
See.
Okay. Two good answers.
Excellent. What is your favorite curse word?
I like fuck. I use it a lot.
Okay.
It gets the point across.
Right. Lisa?
I have no
She
favorite.
Doesn't curse.
I've
ever.
Never heard Lisa curse.
What sound or noise do you love?
This one.
Nee, 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 nee.
No.
How about the crickets when neither of us are answering?
I was just about to say, how about the crickets?
What sound or noise do you hate?
I hate the noise of a fork across a plate. Oh. That freaks me out. That really freaks me out.
All right. What profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
Video game designer.
Ooh, video game designer?
I'd like to be a florist.
A florist?
Are you serious?
I'm totally serious.
Wow.
That's so weird.
That's right. Such
a
cool answer.
Do you love flowers?
Because like, Aaron said the same thing.
Yeah.
Or a video game designer. Although I am going to do it one day. I guarantee.
What profession would you not like to do?
I think I'd really hate to serve food in a cafeteria.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty awful.
I'd hate to be the person who has to put positive spin on George Bush's policies.
Great.
You're a genius.
All right. If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
I would say, come on in, Aaron. You're on the list. You're on top of the list.
All right.
You're on the top of the list?
Oh, yeah.
Because
yeah, that is. Get back down there. You got a couple more years left.
That one.
That's
You're
good.
Not
That's
done.
Good.
Excellent.
I would like to hear Donald Marshall. Thank you.
That's good.
I'd like to hear finally my replacements here.
Oh, now the
that's the lightning striking.
All right. Anything else before we close this episode down?
That's my 10 questions of uncomfortability right there.
Yeah. Well, I feel like a dodo
head. That was
head.
Really creepy.
Just quickly, I want to thank both of you for coming and doing our special Firefly episode with us.
Are we linking this to some Firefly sites?
I've got some Firefly sites that you can check out. Lisa, you're always invited. Open standing invitation.
You. Now that you're done editing a mega blockbuster movie, perhaps
whenever
you can come more often.
Right. Christina, you can show up whenever you want.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, just give us a call.
Christina's like, where's the door?
This was fun. I loved it. It was great.
And if you know any other geeky people, like true geeks, we might have you sign on.
Yeah, I was like, wait a minute.
Joss Whedon would be great.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
I hope everybody has a good geek week coming up, and stay tuned for our next episode,
which I think
we should do Battlestar Galactica.
Let's do it.
It's over. Let's get your roommate.
Let me talk to him. I think we can do that.
Okay. The man who wrote the music for Battlestar Galactica.
Dan McCreary.
We'll try to get him on next week.
Composer of Battlestar.
Excellent.
Cool. Talk to you guys later.
Have a great
time,
Geekly.
Rock it out.